For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what clearing of yourselves. Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. Yea, what vehement desire. Yea, what zeal. Yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. 2 Corinthians 7:10-11. Good morning, friends. Good morning to each listener. For months and months, we have been working with our gospel alphabet, and we have finally come to the end of the alphabet, the letter Z. From the foregoing scripture, the evidence seems quite strong that Z surely must stand for zeal. It has been said in the business world that there is no substitute for brains. And I guess that is right. But if there could be, it would be zeal. And how true this is in spiritual matters. Where there is no zeal, the flame dieth out. Solomon said, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Ecclesiastes 9:10. So if we ever succeed for God and his everlasting kingdom, we must show some zeal and enthusiasm for our work. Zeal will put our words into action. Listen, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily good, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? James 2:15-16. When one's faith is coupled with zeal in action, he climbs mountainous barriers and forges ahead of the laggards. It doesn't matter how many other good qualities you may have. If you're lacking in zeal, you will find yourself on the losing side of the spiritual battle. It's amazing what zeal will do. Now, I know that wealth and influence open certain doors into social circles. But we're not talking about social circles altogether. We're talking about godly zeal, which overwhelms and overpowers the obstacles which stand in the way of a child of God. It spurns inaction, tramples prejudice, and storms indifference. It is possible for a lone man of God or a woman with a consuming zeal to succeed and dominate where a multitude of dry professors can scarcely raise an eyebrow of interest. It was zeal that led to the success in rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem in Nehemiah's day. Listen, so built we the wall, and the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Nehemiah 4:6. It was also zeal and obedience that caused the walls of Jericho to fall. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Joshua 6:20. Can't you just see the zeal which was manifested there that day? It brought results. It takes knowledge and wisdom as well as zeal to be successful for God. One without the other is insufficient. One may be ever so smart and have lots of knowledge, but if he has no zeal for the truth, it is like the fruit which dried on the tree before it came to maturity. There is more hope of an overzealous Christian than there is for one who is stale and stagnant. The Lord can tame the zeal and bring it in line with his will, but what can he do for the soul who has dried up? Listen to the lamenting of the prophet Isaiah. From the uttermost part of the earth have we heard songs, even glory to the righteous. But I said, my leanness, woe unto me. The treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously. Yea, the treacherous dealers have dealt very treacherously. Isaiah 24:16. Let me tell you what has happened. They have been robbed of their zeal. Therefore, there is leanness. Now, don't misunderstand me. Zeal is not the only answer. Zeal will not get you through if it is not coupled with knowledge. Paul, in writing to the Romans, said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Romans 10:1-3. But on the other hand, let me show you what a dry profession is like. "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Revelation 3:15-16. I guess they thought they were doing all right, but their zeal had cooled to the point to where they were neither cold nor hot, lukewarm. How sickening in the sight of God. And now a few scriptures which might stir our zeal to action. "For thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off." Psalms 139:2. God knows when you are discouraged, and he can give hope in the face of discouragement. "Whither shall I go from thy presence? Or whither shall I flee from thy..." No. "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence?" Psalm 139:7. God is watching all the time. Then verse 12, "Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee." And by all means, let us include this 14th verse. "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." To think on these things give us hope, and as hope grows, our zeal increases. It was zeal that caused Columbus to continue sailing the trackless Atlantic amidst the threats of his men. Listen to the poem, Columbus. "Behind him lay the gray Azores, behind the gates of Hercules. Before him, not the ghost of shores. Before him, only shoreless seas. The good mate said, now must we pray, for lo, the very stars are gone. Brave admiral, speak. What shall I say?" Why, say, sail on and on. "My men grow mutinous day by day. My men grow ghastly, wan, and weak. The stout mate thought of home, a spray of salt wave washed his swarthy cheek. What shall I say, brave admiral? Say, if we see naught but seas at dawn, why, you shall say at break of day, sail on, sail on, sail on and on." They sailed, and sailed as wind might blow, until at last the blanched mate said, "Why, now, not even God would know, should I and all my men fall dead. These very winds forget their way, for God from these dread seas is gone." Now speak, brave admiral, speak and say. He said, sail on and on. They sailed, then spake the mate, "This mad sea shows his teeth tonight. He curls his lip, he lies in wait, with lifted teeth as if to bite. Brave admiral, say but one good word. What shall we do when hope is gone?" The words leap like a leaping sword. Sail on, sail on, sail on and on. Then pale and worn, he kept his deck, and peered through darkness. Ah, that night of all dark nights. And then a speck, a light, a light, a light, a light. It grew, a starlight flag unfurled. It grew to be time's burst of dawn. He gained a world. He gave that world its grandest lesson. On, sail on. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you today for the zeal that you put within thy true children of God. We thank you for the truth. We thank you for the fact that it kindles our courage and inspires us to go forth in the name of Christ, knowing that we shall conquer through the blood of Christ our Savior. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of bringing forth thy word over the radio broadcast. We ask you to bless each listener today, wherever they may be, and those who have lost their zeal and courage. We pray thou wilt awaken them, and for that which is accomplished, we'll surely give you the praise in Jesus' name.
Oh, yes, I'm one of his own, a child he'll never disown. I'll dwell eternally with all the blessed. I now am ready to go where living waters have flowed, and there settle down there to rest. I love this wonderful friend. I'm finding joy without end. His love, a privilege all can afford. 'Tis freely offered to all, so won't you list to the call. Come now and accept him as Lord. Oh yes, I'm one of his own, a child he'll never disown. I'll dwell eternally with all the blessed. I now am ready to go where living waters have flowed, and there settle down
until we meet again. This is Willie Murphy saying God bless and keep you always, and a very cheerful goodbye.